Thank you. वन्देहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीकृतार्थमहं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणानुगणान् कान्तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं साद्वैतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणलिताश्रीशाकान्तांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्कृते गोपेश गोपिकान्त तत्काञ्चन गौरवी राधेन्दाश्च कृपा सिन्धुदेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 So nine remaining sons of Ashoka greatly fortunate sages who worked vigorously to spread knowledge of the Sutra. They wandered about naked and were very well versed in the spiritual science. Their names were Kavi, Kavi, Kantariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalaya, Virupan, Drumi, Chamasa, and Karaya. So yesterday we saw the purpose of the begetting the children in order to serve the cause of Lord Vishnu. There is a very interesting historical record of King Rishabhdev. He was liberated. So when he entrusted the kingdom to his eldest son, Bharat, he took off and wandered about naked, even in public places. He was so much out of the worldly conception that later, in the, I think, about 11th century, no, sorry, it's around 6th century. Around 6th century, there was a king in South India called King Arihanta. And he was very much fond of this particular character. So he officially established the austerity under imitation of Lord Rishabhdev, and he established Jainism. King Arihant established Jainism. Jainism is a thesis. And they are describing about the Tirthankaras that happened to be very, very not only prophetic, but also very, very advanced in tolerance. Jain simultaneously came little after the Buddhism spread. Right? But Buddhism was not giving any credibility to austerity. But instead of coming into the influence of Buddhism, a similar Vedic philosophy was also adopted by this King Arihanta. Jains are basically atheists. They took Rishabhdev as the original Tirthankar, means he was purified. In sanction of Bhagavatam, when the Srimad Bhagavatam is its study is undertaken, then you will see the Tirthankarundi Tirthani, those who are purified devotees of the Lord, they roam about, and wherever they go, they create Tirtha. They create a purified atmosphere. So, one does not necessarily have to go to a Tirtha to get purified. But nonetheless, the idea that these Tirthankars are supposed to be freely roaming for the benefit of the people and trying to bring them out from sensitive life. But the funny thing is that it was a blind invitation. And it is not ordained by the descendants of Rishabdev himself. How is it that it becomes a religious religion? So therefore, there are 24 Tirthankars in there, including Mahavir and so many, that happened to be very austere, and we study directly the spread of Buddhist kingdom, the entire India, almost entire India was transformed into Buddhist, you know, atheism. And there are great saints like Ashok and Bimbisara and so on. So some of the South Indian states came under the influence of this Tirthankaras, and they were also very much. But there is hardly any strict acceptance of this Jainism, even though they proliferated, you know. But then there became some moderate Jains, you know. They thought that, well, we have to be civilized, and so they accepted the Svetambara white coat. But those who are the Digambaras means no coat. And it's a blind invitation for those who are out of any conception of that. How do you compare Sutta Sudev Goswami? You know, he was wandering about naked. You know, he was totally away from the body conception of life. So, but they are trained by going through rigorous austerities. And some are appreciable austerities, but not recommended austerities. The Jains will pluck up their heads, you know, growing anywhere and everywhere. And they won't be, but only by hand. And it's a painful torture on the body. This extreme torture of the body is not like voluntary penance. Rather, it is induced under some frenzy of so many, you know, allurement. The Jain Diksha, they give, even the ladies take Diksha. There are more ladies joining than we made. It's a little reverse proportion. But abuse will be also found there. And the Digambar said, you know, they will go around naked, still naked. They are revered, but they are not much appreciated. But within the community, they are worshipped. So the idea is that this was undertaken under blind invitation, Srila Prabhupada says. And even Srila Prabhupada tells about this. So, K. Krishnadev was very, very empowered, encouraged to establish the absolute truth. He chose in that particular time and space about being austere, and he taught his 100 sons the austerity. We see that the first one is Bharat Maharaj, you know, and who is glorious to establish the Vedic religion throughout the whole planet called Bharatavarsha. And this tract of land, which is now known as Bharat, is very insignificant portion. Right? But nonetheless, the very culture sprang up from that land. It's also important to understand that nine sons were given when Bharata Maharaja retired. Rishabdev also divided the different tracts of land, you know, to nine sons. But 81 chose to become, you know, Brahmas, twice more, because they were much more into the Sanskrit vegetation through karma kanda, ritualistic ceremonies. So, but these nine, the remaining nine, are very celebrated as nine Yogendras, or very exalted personalities, who were simply, working hard to establish their soul truth by preaching. So, in our preaching movement, at least we can take the same spirit, but it's not necessary we have to go around again. But there's no way of difference, are very, very exalted persons in God. So this defines and disapproves the Jainism. Because you can see that the 100 sons who were the older carriers of his, or the father, Bharat Maharaj is very well celebrated, and he was a devotee, and he transmigrated into deer life and general life. But that shows the lacks in cultivating Krishna consciousness seriously. And the emergence of other 81 from karma kanda teaches that they followed very path. They followed very path of ritualistic ceremonies. And the nine are transcendentalists who were vigorously preaching the absolute knowledge of the absolute truth. So, how is it possible that not coming in that tradition, either of karma kanda or either of the spreading the knowledge of absolute truth, the Jains are completely of a different opinion. Even today there is a big tussle. The Digambars, those who are walking naked, they don't coincide with the Svetanas, with them, who are liberal. And what to speak, the language that was developed in that area is Pali, and it is offshoots of Sanskrit. It was completely a branching off by lineage. It did not inherit the same teachings of Lord Rishabdev. They still worship Rishabdev as Aditi Tirthankara, the original of 1224. But none of the boys of Lord Rishabdev are taken into consideration. So there's a deep gap. Probably more than a generation gap is there. Where after Rishabdev there are other Tirthankars, and none of his own children are so exalted, you know. At least 10 are more exalted. There is some reference of King Ariyamunda also coming probably in the same chapter. We can find out. Response to Kindinimi's inquiries. Right. The fourth canto may have some. Do we have fourth canto?
Yes, we have.
Yes, okay. But it's very important what Srila Prabhupada writes about this. This gives us the prelude of the teachings of the nine yogis. So, look in the index, you will find out quickly. It's said in this particular translation that these nine remaining sons were greatly fortunate. The fortune is received by, in connection with the Supreme Personality of God, that they are devotees. They may be expert in so many branches of King Nimi's inquiry, but still their entire focus is here on surrender to the Supreme Lord. That's what makes one fortunate. And it is also said that they work vigorously to spread the knowledge of the Absolute Truth. They are missionaries. Missionary activity to spread out the knowledge of the Absolute Truth is very much appreciated. Got it?
Sorry,
first canto. You got the first canto.
Fifth.
Okay. This is in 5th canto, 6th chapter, verse number 9. Subhadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, the king of Konka, Venka, Kutaka, whose name was Arhat, heard the activities of Rishabhadeva and imitating Rishabhadeva's principles, introduced a new system of religion, taking advantage of Kali Yuga, the age of sinful activity. The king Arhat, being bewildered, gave up the Vedic principles which are free from risk, and conquered a new system of religion opposed to the Vedas. That was the beginning of Jain Dharma. Many other so-called religions follow this atheistic system. This is the reference. When Lord Krishna, in the Purport of Prabhupada says, was present on this planet, a person named Pondrak imitated Pondrak in the land and declared himself the Supreme Personality of God. He desired to compete with Krishna. Similarly, during the time of Rishabhadeva, the king of Konka, Venka acted like a Paramahansa and imitated Lord Rishabhadeva. He introduced a system of religion and took advantage of the fallen condition of people in this age of Kali. It is said that Vedic literature says that people in this age will become more inclined to accept anyone as a supreme lord and accept any religious system opposed to Vedic principle. People in this age are described as mandas mandamataya. Generally, they have no spiritual culture and therefore they are very followed. Due to this, they will accept any religious system due to their misfortune. They forget the Vedic principle of following the non-Vedic principle of this age. They think themselves the Supreme Lord and thus spread the cult of atheism all over the world. So, people who are lowest among men and bewildered by illusory energy of the Supreme Lord will give up the original Varnashram Dharma and its the rules and regulations. They will abandon babies to be translated in worshipping the Lord, abandoning religions and neglecting the Supreme Lord, will accept nonsensical principles, not regularly bathing or washing their mouths regularly. They will also always remain unclean and they will pluck out their hair. Following a concocted religion, they will flourish during this age of Kali. People are more inclined to religious systems. Consequently, these people will naturally deny Vedic authority, the followers of the Vedic authority, the Brahmanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the devotees. This is the translation that was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. But present the Hindus in the Western countries fit this description. They are irresponsible and unregulated, they do not take and they deny the standard of the knowledge. They concoct a new lifestyle and religions. There are many Hindu groups at the present moment, but they are originated from Kigala, who imitated the activities of the Lord Shukadeva and who was situated on the Paramahansa stage. King Arhat did not care for the fact that although Lord Shukadeva acted like a madman, his stool and urine were nonetheless aromatic. So, much so that the old priestly sent at the countryside for miles around. The followers of King Arhat went under the name Jains, and they were later followed by many others, particularly by the hippies, who are more or less objects of Maya philosophy because they think themselves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such people do not respect the real followers of the principle, the ideal Brahmanas, nor do they have respect for the principle, the Supreme Personality of God. The Supreme Brahman, due to the influence of this age of Kali, they are apt to conquer both religious systems. Again, Sukadeva Goswami tells that low class people, due to their gross ignorance, introduce a system of religion that deviates from the religious principle. Following their own mental concoction, they automatically fall down in the darkest region of existence. In this direction, one may see Bhagavad Gita chapter 16 where the description of fall down of the asuras have been given. Prabhupada says in the chapter number 12, in the text number 12, I am avataro rito apsulokutapai kaivalyam parikshanartha. In this stage of Kali, people are overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance. Lord Vishwadeva reincarnated himself to deliver them from the clutches of mind. The symptoms of Kali Yuga are predicted in the 12th canto, 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lavanya Kesh Dharana. It is predicted how the former souls will be like. They will keep long hair and consider themselves very beautiful. They will pluck out their hair as Jains do. They will also keep themselves unclean and will not wash their mouths. Jains refer to Lord Vishnudev and their original preceptor. If such people are serious followers of Professor Dev, they must also take his instruction. In the 5th chapter of this contribution, there is 100 sons' instructions where they could become free from the clutches of mind. If one actually follows Vishwadeva, he will certainly be delivered from the clutches of mind and return home back home to God. If one strictly follows the instructions of Vishwadeva, even in the 5th chapter, will certainly be delivered. Lord Vishwadeva incarnated specifically to deliver his fallen souls. So we see, this is corroborated by the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. It's not, some imagination. This particular reference is given by Sukadeva Goswami. It's funny thing that the modern Jains to accept by conceding to this verdict, then do accept. If you go in Rajasthan, in Abu Dilwara and other holy places of Jain, beautiful Madhava temples have been created where Lord Rishabhdev and other Tirthankas are also being worshipped. But they concede to the Vaishnava devotees. They invite them to come and recite Srimad Bhagavatam in these temples. Jains themselves, they say, we don't believe, but it is the same Vishwadeva. So, the teachings of Lord Vishwadeva have thus been accepted by a sort of compromise between some liberals. And there was a period in Indian history to see beautiful architecture and for worshiping Lord Shukadeva. And this tradition is still going on. Whenever a devotee goes there, they will welcome him. And they will be glorifying to the Father that we do have Bhagavad Katha in Jain temple. Otherwise, in the city dweller temple, you don't find. In Digambar's temple, you are not invited. They keep it there. There is a courtyard in their temple where the sadhus pass through, and then they are supposed to smear and spread. But it's a stinking place, unclean, unhealthy. This is not a clean head. It's a blind invitation. It reminds them that the body is nothing but stool. But then why to play around with this? It doesn't make much sense. So, the young kids out there in India, we have seen, they are playing around the street as if there is something new, unseen before. They are mesmerized. So, Maya tricks, you know, in this way. Kali Yuga is very, very treacherous because even a sane person would not know how Maya is going to trick him. However, he may put all his efforts and, to get away. Generally, the Jains are very rich families. Very rich families. Some of their ritualistic ceremonies are also rich. They spend a lot of money for their temples. Nice and artistic temples. But as far as the personal character, it is deep down sunk into materialism. There is no austerity, no austere life in common people. There's a big gap. Somehow or other, I happened to meet a Jain devotee who virtually risked his life, business and everything from the torture of his family members. He's attending our Punjabi Bhakt temple in Delhi. So he was telling me his entire story. And virtually, they are all ethics, and because I'm becoming a Hare Krishna, they are all threatening me that they will take me to the court. A businessman, rich, filthy business. I said, others, cannot pay it properly. This person is trying to preserve his happiness amongst the association of the devotees. So, that's there. Jains do not call themselves Hindus. Simply on the strength of, the truth derived through austere self-abnegation, denial, but it is not very principle. So they are Gentile. Very therefore they are not Hindus people. They don't want to call themselves Hindus. The Sikhs did take advantage of the same nature because of Agisamaya, they were having a very tough time during that time. Muslim persecution was there. And instead of uniting, the Aryas went and criticized even the Hindus to worship idols. And Sikhs were actually some people devotees. But they became militant. So in this way we see that this blind imitation and following the rules and regulations, things have created havoc. The modern Jains are appreciating it because they see it very clearly that there is a link of their origin, But they use mixed up philosophies. So generally it's Mayavada. Mixed up philosophy means Mayavada. And they go for, yoga system, they go for worship of Ganesh and Lakshmi, the statue that they are fond of. None of the Narayan, that is, Rishabhdev is after all incarnation, he is Narayan. He is the origin. They consider Krishna to be one of the Tirthankars and yet to come. He has not yet come. So there are complicated philosophies. But as far as the authority Shastra is concerned, we have to mention out that whether these teachings are conducive. But when Sukadeva Goswami himself describes about King Arhat, they call it Arihanta. It means Jainism was there before. Sukadeva Goswami is describing this Jainism must be before, but it is not being repeated. Srila Prabhupada said that Sukadeva reincarnated himself during modern times. So, the teachings of the Nayanakyavindras will definitely make a very big distinction between, the inheritance that Jains took, what these nine directions, took. So, to uphold the absolute truth, they were fully dedicated, and they were preaching around all over. So King Nili happens to receive him, and all his inquiries in all different fields of the absolute truth, the knowledge, has been satisfied by them, because they were expert in those practices. So this is another historical prelude that we should. The systematic teachings will be starting now. The glorification of the Yogendras will be described, and we'll see what kind of characters are there. Does anybody have any questions?
Question from Maharaj in yesterday's class. You were saying that sometimes like lusty desires, so if they pop up in the mind, the lusty desires, so how should we control that?
Be intelligent. Face the consequences before they arise. Be warned. Lusty desires are not freely coming. They are coming with a tag, a price tag. If a person is not determined, then they will pop up and they will make them like a compulsive gambler, spend the whole life after. So, the intelligence is first invested, and try to check out intelligence. Intelligence should guide the mind and scrutinize this. How much should I pay my life for the rest of this? If you don't have enough intelligence, ask Krishna, he will give.
Sometimes what happens, we still think we strive to apply our intelligence, but then
then be a gentleman. Take up the responsibility for all the entanglement in a calculated way. You have to pay. Don't regret, I made a mistake. A gentleman is promising. So there are guidelines. Even after getting legally married with Krishna consciousness being, you can curb lusty desires. There is a process. Always remind yourself of the obligation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. that is allowing you to enter into an ideal rest life. So execute his function. Execute Lord's function for them. And that guidance can be given by Krishna's representative. It's a gradually drawn from. Don't become knowingly a victim and then come and take center. No, you can't avoid it. So, because it's the attack of the modes of material nature, and the body is composed of the modes of material nature, so therefore it is natural that this thing will come. But if you are not equipped intelligently, you know, with the knowledge of the absolute truth, that is your own wealth, soul's wealth. You know, don't get too much entangled so that you can't liberate yourself. As much as required, take up the process. Krishna gives you opportunity to act in perfect calm. And again, gives opportunity to become retired because the body is being ready. But then you should take up the process that the deep down attachment within that lusty mind should be curved through their intelligence. If not now, it will be at least then.
Like, how should we think in terms of intelligence? How should we think so that the desire gets
curved? Intelligence is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Warnings are there. And if we heed to the warnings, you know, then we become cautious while getting into entanglement. Entanglement, there will be suffocation comes. There will be compulsory responsibility laid. As a head of the household, one has to be expertly dealing, but simultaneously remain detached from within. That is intelligence. That these guidance are given. The Guru gives all along the way. You know? So don't be afraid. It's an attack. But before you are taken as a prisoner and thrown in the dark dungeon called Grihatantakubam, then what do you have? You seek for the opportunity. How to make the best use of that dead body? You have been given the term imprisonment, right? The term is how to finish the term, how to get on the parole, how to behave in such a way that the custodian of the jail nevertheless. So these are very intelligent steps one can learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. The big kings, the king of the whole earth, when it comes to retire, he sees his whole kingdom is nothing but stooped, worthless. He gives up everything. Because only the savior for the soul is the supreme Lord. So he surrenders to him and hands over the kingdom to his son. Shall there be? And Bharata executed. Bharata executed. And he also retired. Right? It took 3 lives for Prabhupada to get salvation. But for Rishabdev, because he was in power, and the empowerment came from Krishna. So intelligence is also empowerment. It comes from Krishna. So you can then. Krishna says that.
What you are saying is that we have to approach Guru, Sadhu and Shastra.
Of course. Yeah, Krishna says, Natha Sarvasya Chaham Radha Sandhavishwa. I am sitting in everyone's heart as Parvati. Matta Smutir Narapona from me. Remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. 3 cups. Right? Now, what do you want? Do you want smuti, means remembrance of your original? Suppose in the past life you have advanced a little bit. In this life you are given opportunity to get more advanced, right? So, you want to remember how much advancement you did in past life. The smuti will be given by Krishna. Because you are. You can progress pretty fast if you have a smriti. You don't have to start all over. Right? Okay, if you don't require that smriti because you know, oh well, I don't know what is my past. And actually, I'm coming in association, there is a big deal. You're not with the devotees. But you are also taking up a process. There is greater deal. Alright? And when you become regulated and get initiated, it's the biggest thing that you strike. The point is, realization will come through the process. So, Gyan is there. Divya Gyan, by getting initiation, you get Divya Gyan. So, realization is there. But if you say, who the hell cares? Every minute there is Maya. You are temple in Maya. Oh, let me get out. Every minute. So, bye bye, Krishna. So, Krishna says, you want to forget? Okay, wait. I will create such a situation for you that you will forget. You cannot do otherwise. Because this impressions of devotion is very, very lasting, long. That is carried in the next life too. Right? So what do you want? What is your desire? What is your determination? You can do it. And take up the responsibility. You know, can't you mean no desire? No determination? Okay, get married. Get married and be regulated by sanskaras. Be regulated. But these are all the sanskaras that are going to remind you of Lord Krishna's interference in your life. That for his sake you have to get married. Yet here, get ready to sacrifice by Vivaha. Vivaha, yet here. Yet here is Vishnu. Yet here is Vishnu. Right? So in this way, we get into the interactions of Maya, because it is going to increase. Sri Mamunsam Maitani Bhava Peter Tayorahu Rai Granthi Atta Griha Kshetra Apta Vittahi Janasya Mohoya Pavati. This is a risk. But take a calculated risk. How much calculated? Get advice from the Guru. And he will guide you. Just try to be simple. So you will be least affected. Remain detached internally by remembering Krishna. Krishna. In every action. Otherwise, the mode of passion and ignorance is going to pound you. Many a times we see the parents are beginning cats and dogs type of children. And the chemical, that the modern civilization has is very, very, you know, proficient by neglecting the responsibility. Right? And you see, out of that, if you are getting a chance to become Krishna consciousness and understand the responsibility towards Krishna, this is not a great fortune. To become a guru is the most fortunate. It doesn't deny you that you will not be affected by the three modes. You will be, but it will also equip you simultaneously to stand at yourself. And as much surrender you have Krishna to Krishna, that strength will be at reciprocate. So, don't be afraid. This is called life. This is called samsara. You are creating. You will pay for it. Right? Sometimes you are paying even for the past. Sometimes we have unpaid activities there. So you will be paying this time. So it will be here. Don't be surprised when it has come. I don't deserve it. Everybody gets educated in how to think Krishna in every reactionary aspect. That is getting over. It's getting over. So in this way you can do that. You will never create another attribute from next life. Is it? Otherwise, by not becoming devotee of Krishna, you are risking even your future. That's a big deal. Alright? So there is a systematic procedure and guidance that one has to be conversant and systematic. There is always a room for all of us without any condition for overriding. The Vedas are so immense that they will fit us. It's not that, oh, I'm not fitting in the Vedas. If you want to give up, that's your target. But you will not. To be born in Vedic tradition or to acquire Vedic tradition is the core of civilization. Rest is by the ignorance. It's by the uncivilized. Prabhupada talks very strongly on the modern civilization. Anything else?